It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The director of a children's therapy center in Huntington lost her offices in a fire on Sunday.
It's going to be a huge impact on the people that rely on our service. We have a team of 22 that services the community, but we've had a pouring of outreach from the community calling to lend a hand. So hopefully we will find a temporary home and be up providing services again within a few days.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. A panel of judges from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has overturned a bill that banned same-sex marriage in Virginia. While the Richmond-based court's decision doesn't directly impact West Virginia, the state is part of the 4th Circuit, and it could mean changes to its gay marriage ban in the future. Ashton Mara explains.
I didn't expect to live to see this day, and I was hoping my kids would, but oh my goodness. It's overwhelming. I can't describe the emotions.
That's Kelly Kimball. She's the chair of the Board for Fairness West Virginia, a civil rights group focused on the LGBT community. Kimball says she was at home when she heard of the decision Monday that ruled Virginia's law banning same-sex marriages and denying the recognition of marriage from other states was unconstitutional.
It's just such a historic, monumentous decision that I just can't even wrap my head around my emotions yet.
Kimball's joy as an activist, however, was balanced with the realism that comes with being an attorney. The decision does not mean an immediate change for same-sex couples in West Virginia, but could down the line. The Fourth Circuit includes 5 states: Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina, and West Virginia. When a federal appellate court says a law in one state in their circuit goes against the Constitution, it can be assumed judges in the other states within that circuit will uphold their decision. In West Virginia, Federal District Judge Robert Chambers decided to hold off on ruling in his case challenging the state's gay marriage ban. Chambers said in June he'd wait to see what the Fourth Circuit had to say on the issue in this Virginia case before deciding his own.
We fully anticipate that now his decision will be consistent with what the Fourth Circuit has done, because it wouldn't make sense for him to rule contrary to that decision and then be overturned on appeal.
In short, Kimball says, why would he rule differently than the way a higher court has already decided? Ultimately, though, the Fourth Circuit's decision is just one piece in a complicated puzzle. As more and more state and federal judges begin to rule on laws against same-sex marriage, and those decisions are appealed up through the court system, it's likely, Kimball says, the Supreme Court will have the final word.
This Fourth Circuit decision could certainly be, I think we expect it to probably be appealed to the Supreme Court. And what will likely happen is that the Supreme Court will consolidate all of those cases and make one decision that's going to apply to the entire nation.
Should that be the case, something Kimball says we could see as early as next year, there are still things West Virginia lawmakers would be required to do. Delegate Stephen Skinner, the first openly gay member of the West Virginia legislature, says don't expect state lawmakers to go to session next year and rewrite West Virginia law based on this decision. That won't happen. But should the Supreme Court overturn the state's ban, there are issues they will face in making state laws compliant with the U.S. Constitution as the court interprets it.
There are just many things that are not anticipated today that we'll need to fix. I mean, someone has calculated that there are 1,100 federal benefits to marriage. Well, no one has actually calculated how many state benefits there are to marriage in West Virginia. But we're going to have to go through and look at all of
that. That 1,100 benefit statistic Skinner is referring to comes from the Human Rights Campaign, a national civil rights group who says they're working to achieve equality for LGBT communities. The benefits are things like tax credits, pensions, and visitation rights in hospitals, just to name a few. All things married couples are guaranteed and gay partners have no legal right to. At least not yet. Should the Supreme Court make a final decision for the entire country, West Virginia lawmakers will have to go through and update state code when it comes to hundreds of benefits. For now, though, things will remain the same for gay couples in West Virginia. Judge Chambers' decision could come within days or take years, Skinner says. Then it's bound to be appealed and work its way through the federal court system. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will hold public hearings this week about their proposed Clean Power Plan. The administration's plan to cut carbon pollution from existing power plants has been sharply criticized by some West Virginia politicians and political candidates, the coal industry and others, who say it will hurt West Virginia's economy. But in a conference call with reporters Monday morning, EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy tried to smooth over such criticism.
You'll see that the states that are heavily coal generation now will remain heavily coal generation in the future. Every fuel supply will be able to continue to succeed in a low carbon future under these plans. And every state will be able to design their own plan in ways that enhance their own communities.
The EPA predicts that when the plan is fully implemented in the year 2030, carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants will be 30% lower. McCarthy insists the Clean Power Plan is necessary to combat climate change.
And it really is about protecting the health and environment today and for future generations, while we keep energy affordable and reliable for our families and our businesses and spur innovation and investment that's going to grow the economy for decades to come. So this plan is important, but listening to people right now is the most important thing for EPA and I think the country to understand what the American public want to see EPA do here and just how important it is for us to meet our moral obligation to really hand our children a world that we're going to be proud of.
The hearings are being held in Washington, Atlanta, Denver, and Pittsburgh. Each hearing lasts 2 days. Each person gets 5 minutes to address EPA officials about the plan. Administrator McCarthy will not attend the public hearings. The United Mine Workers of America says workers and their families should be concerned about this new regulation. As Jessica Lilly reports, groups from West Virginia and across Appalachia are gearing up to show support and protest the EPA's proposed rule.
Groups like the United Mine Workers of America and Coal River Mountain Watch are traveling to Pittsburgh later this week. As it stands, the EPA rule would let states come up with their own energy policy on how to decrease carbon dioxide emissions. Given the political climate, some environmentalists worry it would be business as usual for the coal industry, leaving little room for renewable energy. After all, lawmakers in states like West Virginia and Kentucky aggressively and consistently favor coal in speech and policy.
We need to make it clear that the EPA does have the authority and the mandate and the moral obligation to rein in CO2 emissions.
That's Vernon Haltom, the executive director of Coal River Mountain Watch. He even criticizes the agency meant to help protect the environment, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, and other state agencies.
Twice now that the federal government, the EPA, has come to a settlement with, first it was Massey Energy, now Alpha Natural Resources. And these are violations that were self-reported by the company. The West Virginia DEP didn't even catch these violations, even though the companies were reporting them.
Haltom is referring to a suit in which federal courts found Marfork Coal, a former Massey subsidiary and current Alpha Company, violated water pollution limits at the Brushy Fork impoundment. The company had submitted reports to the state DEP that showed high levels of selenium and violations of water quality standards at the coal slurry impoundment, according to the group's website. In another case, Alpha Natural Resources agreed to spend an estimated $200 million on implementing system-wide upgrades to reduce discharges of pollution from coal mines in Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia for violating the Clean Water Act. The settlement involved more than 6,200 permits. Phil Smith with the United Mine Workers of America says miners and their families should still be concerned. Smith says even if policy of coal-dependent states keeps coal as king, it becomes an easy target for the rest of the country.
It's not just a question of will West Virginia or Kentucky develop a plan that will be harmful to coal. Basically, the fact of the matter is they're going to have to. They're going to have to replace a great deal of their coal generation with something else, not as much as some other states. But some of those other states that will have to replace it with something else are places where West Virginia and Kentucky coal go. So those markets will be dried up, which will, of course, affect the miners who work in the mines that produce that coal.
And environmentalists aren't completely satisfied with the rule either. Haltom wants to see a policy with 100% renewable energy.
The low-hanging fruit that the EPA should be focusing on for renewable energy is solar and wind. We have the technology, we have the ability, and what we don't have is the political will, especially when our leaders, such as those in West Virginia, oppose any sort of modernization.
But where will those renewable jobs be created? Phil Smith and the UMWA says it won't be enough for the areas that need it the most.
The expectation that there are going to be jobs that come from this may occur, but it's unlikely that they'll occur in places where we're asking people to give up jobs, like Boone County, like Logan County, like places in southern West Virginia, eastern Kentucky, northern West Virginia. They're giving up jobs that are paid $20 to $25 or more dollars an hour plus benefits for something that's not anywhere close to where they live with no guarantee that it's going to even pay half of that.
But let's not lose sight of the big global picture. The new rule is meant to reduce carbon dioxide in order to slow climate change. Smith says the UMWA doesn't argue the science behind climate change and agrees that something should be done, just not this new rule.
The problem is that the overall reduction in global greenhouse gas emissions that will result from this rule is somewhere around 1%. And at the same time, we estimate that this will cost about 52,000 jobs in coal and utilities and rail just in the first 5 years of this rule.
Coal jobs have been declining in recent years, and studies show that several things are contributing, like the amount of coal left, the location of the coal, competition like natural gas, along with regulatory costs. Again, environmentalist Vernon Haltom.
If our agencies and leaders that are supposed to be looking out for us would actually do so and diversify the economies in communities that desperately need it. The EPA is not ending the coal industry. I don't see why the people that are going to be rallying against the EPA, instead of going to Pittsburgh, why don't they go to Chesapeake's headquarters and rally against them? Because that's where their jobs are going.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Athens.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:42. Partly sunny skies today. There is a chance of some rain and thunderstorms this afternoon. Temperatures will be in the 70s, becoming partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 50s. Partly sunny on Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s.
Support provided by State Electric Supply Company, your full-line electrical supply distributor, online at stateelectric.com.
The city of Huntington regrouped Monday as business owners and residents of the Morris Building tried to figure out what's next after a Sunday morning fire. Clark Davis has the story.
The first call came in at 8:39 a.m. Sunday. One of the oldest buildings in downtown Huntington caught fire, forcing the city fire department and neighboring volunteer departments to go on high alert. The fire reportedly started in an old elevator shaft near the top of the seven-floor building. The building housed approximately 10 residents and several businesses, including the popular Backyard Pizza and Raw Bar and the Peddler on the first floor. Both restaurants are owned by Drew and Megan Hetzer.
At first, you have the shock of the moment, and it takes a while for it to sink in. But right after all that settles and you start thinking about it, you just have to keep a positive mindset and think about everyone else and how it's affecting everything as a whole, and come up with a game plan, and that's what we're doing today, and we'll be doing that for quite some time.
No residents were injured in the blaze that destroyed the roof, but one firefighter suffered a leg injury. Hetzer says once they can better assess the damage, which mainly seems to be caused by water in the first floor restaurants, they'll come up with a plan. He says the support they have already received shows there is no other decision but to try to rebuild or reopen somewhere else.
We've had to meet with a lot of people. We've been fortunate to be overwhelmed with the amount of response through text message, Facebook, just everyone reaching out and wanting to support us. So that really makes you feel good, and that really helps fuel and supports our passion for what we do.
More than 50 employees are employed by the Hetzer's two restaurants. Those employees will get help from the insurance the Hetzer's have, but also from support from the community. And other restaurants like DP Dough, New York Bagel, and St. Mark's Bar are pitching in different ways. That includes donations of tips and possible temporary employment. But Backyard Pizza and the Peddler weren't the only businesses in the building. Leslie Comer Porter is the executive director of the Development Therapy Center, which sat on the third floor of the Morris Building. They've provided therapy to children with disabilities in Huntington since 1954. Comer Porter says it's important they find a new location quick.
It's going to be a huge impact on the people that rely on our service. We have a team of 22 that services the community, but we've had a pouring of outreach from the community calling to lend a hand. So hopefully we will find a temporary home and be up providing services again within a few days.
As a firefighter, Scott Mellert was in the middle of the fight. As a store owner, his business, the Pet Palace, was just two doors down in the Renaissance Building.
We all feel like, we're all business partners together because we're all right here together. We all got to help each other. So I certainly feel for Drew and am willing to help him any way I can.
Huntington Mayor Steve Williams hopes the city will use this tragedy as a chance to come together.
We have to do everything we can to help him get back on his feet. And what I see that will occur from this is that we will use this as a rallying point. The opening of his restaurants, the opening of that building, we have tragedy that does occur to us, but it might knock us down, but it doesn't knock us out.
Drew's wife, Megan, and the co-owner of Backyard Pizza and the Peddler, says there's no way they're backing down now.
This is our life. This is our passion, and a little fire is not going to stop us. So if we have to move to another building, we will, but we're hoping this building could be saved and we'll rebuild.
The Huntington Fire Department says the fire was out at about noon Sunday. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
The Randolph County Board of Education has called a special meeting for this evening to address structural problems with the Harmon School. The facility suffered a roof collapse over the July 4th weekend. Sarah Lowther Hensley reports.
A plaster ceiling caved into a classroom earlier this month, bringing with it 2 tons of debris. A post-collapse inspection of the school, built in the 1950s, determined it is not safe for use. That presents logistical and financial issues for the Randolph County Board of Education. The first day of school in Randolph County is August 14th, a little over 2 weeks away. Approximately 170 students from pre-K through 12th grade attend Harmon School, which employs about 28 teachers and staff. Superintendent of Schools Terry George recommends relocating the students until he can identify funding to repair the school and repairs can be completed. A consulting firm has recommended demolishing the old plaster ceilings throughout the school and replacing them with suspended ceilings. Recommendations also include inspecting conditions above the plaster ceilings, determining whether any additional structural repairs are needed, replacing lights, fans, and electrical wiring, and replacing and upgrading the fire alarm system. The consultant estimated the cost of repairs would be at least $175,000, not including classrooms. Full repairs could take closer to $750,000 or more. Some parents have voiced concerns about relocating the students and the long bus rides that would result. The meeting is scheduled for 5 o'clock p.m. in the Elkins High School Theater. The board chose that location in anticipation of a large public turnout. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Sarah Lowther Hensley in Fairmont.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback at wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Bill Lynch. I'm Beth Voorhees.